it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring, boring.
You couldn't get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, the baseball's in Boring on the Go. A great time to have this conversation with Steven Matz. Steven Matz knows what's what when it comes to the things that are going on right now in New York and in Boston. Particularly, you have prospects coming up, making their debuts, making their first foray into the major leagues and starting rotations as rookies right smack dab in the middle of a pennant race. I'm talking, of course, about the Mets. Nolan McClain, Jonah Tong, Brandon Sproat, and of course, Matt's current teammate, Peyton Tolley. All these guys are getting a lot of buzz, a lot of attention, and a lot is being put on their back as these teams, as the Mets and Red Sox go into the postseason, because both teams need these guys to pitch really, really well, and they have. So, how does Matz view it? What does Matz remember? Because I'm going to give you a reminder about what Steven Matz was or what he represented way back in 2015 as a 24-year-old. He made his Major League debut in June. You're going to hear about that in this conversation. It's amazing. Then he made another one in July. But then he permanently joined the Mets rotation on September 6th and was good. Went four starts, totaled a 2.86 ERA, and the Mets won three of those four games. That allowed him to get starts in the NLDS, the NLCS, and one in the World Series, all of which he totaled a 3.6 ERA. So did all right for himself and launched him and onto the radar, of course, of the world of baseball. How do I know that? Because heading into 2016, he was the ninth overall prospect according to Baseball America. So what is it like to be dropped in the middle of a pennant race as a rookie, as a person who is just trying to figure out what's what when it comes to being a big leaguer? You don't have time to figure out what's what. Your team needs you, especially when it comes to starting pitching. All right, I figure this is a great, great conversation to have with a guy who knows what's going on in respect to a subject that everybody's talking about, young rookie starting pitchers being counted on by playoff teams. All right, here's Steven Matz. All right, there's nobody I'd rather be talking to than Steven Matz for the 2-Minute Grill. And, you know, when you came up, you were obviously known. And now, like, I think guys are more known than ever. There's a lot of pressure on them. Looking back, what advice or guidance would you give somebody who's just coming up, sort of being dropped into this world?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when you get up, maybe you feel like you have to do something different. You have to do something more than what you have been doing. And I think at that time, you know, it's just you got there for a reason. So just, you know, A, enjoy it, and B, just trust what you have. You don't have to do anything more because you're in the big leagues now.
Well, who was your first game against?
Cincinnati.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about, like you said, like, did you feel like that you had to do more? You know, there's a lot of people wanting you to go and pitch a no-hitter, a complete game and everything, but then that's probably hard to push away. But what do you remember about that feeling?
It was an interesting day because it was a makeup game. We had a doubleheader, but the first one was like a makeup game. It went like several extra innings, so I was just waiting around the clubhouse. You know, me being from New York, it was in New York. But I was kind of rolling with where I was at. I feel like they called me up just the right time. They gave me enough time to develop, but also I was pitching really well and stuff. So, you know, I ended up going 3-for-3 with 4 RBIs. I pitched into the 8.
Oh,
so
God.
It was quite a debut. Really good. So, yeah.
See, talking about things that will never, ever happen again.
Yeah. So it was a fun day, you know, being from New York. Everybody was there, so it was cool.
So just to relate it to sort of the latest example we have here with just Peyton, which is, I think it was a great example of of you have the great outing, and then you have the adjustments. Major Leagues is all about the adjustments. Time Max make adjustments. For you, when did that hit home, when you realized, oh, man, they're making adjustments?
I think that was probably so I got called up, and then I made 6 starts, pitched in the playoffs, pitched in the World Series my first year, and everything kind of went pretty good. And then the next year, my first outing, I gave up like 7 runs in like 2 innings. And then that was when I realized, like, okay, now we got to kind of dig in and figure out some stuff. And, you know, from there, and I won like 7 games in a row after that. So it was like that outing kind of helped me open my eyes and start to adjust.
What was it like being thrown in the middle of the chaos?
Yeah, in my first year there.
Yeah. This is like perfect example, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. I always reference the David Price in 08 of being dropped in and then pitching the ALCS. Yeah. But you similar experience. What was it like?
Oh, it was a whirlwind. You know, I think it was – I didn't know any better. And so I feel like there was a little bit of an ignorance there of just like, here I am. This is what I got. I'm at, you know, pitching the playoffs. And so I was just kind of like, I really – there was really not much expectations on myself. I was just like, this is great. Let's just be me and do this. So I think that was pretty cool. But, yeah, you think of examples of Price. Think of Michael Wacha coming up.
And
I think he was like the NLCS MVP or something, you know, as first year. So, yeah.
It's like this all the time.
That's what you feel like. But then you realize how hard it actually is. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.